One perfect life, the best news the world has ever been given about the most significant life in all history, Jesus Christ.
Now hear the words of the prophet in Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins.
Welcome to this Christmas presentation of One Perfect Life, A Son is Given. In the narrative of Scripture blended from the four Gospels with commentary by John MacArthur, in One Perfect Life, we're given a unique one-of-a-kind harmony of the New Testament Gospels. It reveals a glorious portrait of the eternal Christ with the best news the world has ever been given, the story of the most significant life in all history. In today's special, John MacArthur joins us in biblical narrative surrounding the birth of Christ.
Over the course of my ministry, I've spent decades studying, preaching, and writing commentaries on the four Gospels. The Holy Spirit-inspired quartet of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the pinnacle of Scripture because in it the Lord Jesus Christ is most perfectly revealed and God most clearly manifest. For believers, the full vision of the Lord Jesus is the supreme means by which we are sanctified as we are enraptured by His glory and conformed into His image. As Paul explained to the Corinthians in his second letter, chapter 3, verse 18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." For unbelievers, the full vision of the Lord Jesus is the supreme means by which they are saved. Nothing comes close to the rich reward of understanding the truth and glory of His matchless life. May God use this to that end.
And now, One Perfect Life, A Son is Given.
The Bible says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." Sent from God, a forerunner to Jesus, John was to bear witness to him as the Messiah and Son of God. That all through him might believe refers not to Christ, but to this John the Baptist as the agent who witnessed to Christ. The sole purpose of his testimony was to produce faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. John the Baptist was the agent of belief. Jesus Christ is the object of belief. And although John's person and ministry were vitally important, he was the forerunner who announced the coming of the Messiah. And with John's ministry as forerunner, the New Testament period began. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while Zacharias was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him.
"Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
"How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years."
"I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time."
And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, Zacharias departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months.
"Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people."
Elizabeth undoubtedly sought solitude as an act of devotion out of her deep gratitude to the Lord. She no longer carried the social stigma of barrenness, a reproach in a culture where blessings were often tied to birthrights and family lines.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary.
"Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women."
The angel Gabriel could see that she was troubled at his saying, considering what manner of greeting this was.
"Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
"How can this be, since I do not know a man?"
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative has also conceived a son in her old age, and she is now in the sixth month of her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible."
"Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word."
And the angel departed from her.
Mary was in an extremely embarrassing and difficult position. Betrothed to Joseph, she faced the stigma of unwed motherhood. Joseph would obviously have known that the child was not his, and she knew she would be accused of adultery, an offense punishable by stoning. Yet this young woman willingly and graciously submitted to the will of God.
You're listening to A Son is Given, a Christmas special in the words of Scripture with John MacArthur. Mary has been told by the angel Gabriel that she has found the favor with God and will bring forth a son, Jesus, and that her relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son.
Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias.
Elizabeth, it's Mary. I've come to see you to share good news.
And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why was this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped for joy in my womb.
When Elizabeth used the expression, the mother of my Lord, it wasn't in praise of Mary, but in praise of the child she bore. It was a profound expression of Elizabeth's confidence that Mary's child would be the long-hoped-for Messiah, the one whom even David called Lord. Elizabeth's understanding was extraordinary, considering the aura of mystery that overshadowed all these events. She greeted Mary, not with skepticism, but with joy. She understood the response of the child in her own womb, and she seemed to comprehend the immense importance of the child whom Mary was carrying. And in response to Elizabeth's praise is Mary's Magnificat, her exaltation revealing her heart and mind that were saturated with the Word of God as she recited the covenant promises of God.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever.
And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and returned to her house. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias, but Elizabeth objected.
No, he shall be called John.
But Elizabeth, there's no one among your relatives who's called by this name.
You're his father. Certainly he is to be named after you.
They made signs to Zacharias what he would have him called, and asking for a writing tablet, he wrote, saying,
His name is John.
Immediately Zacharias' mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all those who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, What kind of a child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied.
In every case where someone was Spirit-filled in Luke's nativity account, the result was Spirit-directed worship. Ephesians 5:18-20 says, Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Zacharias gave his Benedictus, the benediction he was supposed to give when he was struck mute in the temple. And when his speech was restored, the first words out of his mouth were these inspired words of worship.
Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
So the child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel.
You're listening to a presentation of One Perfect Life, A Son is Given, a Christmas special in the narrative of Scripture from the four Gospels.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream.
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child.
Both Joseph and Mary were descendants of David, and as such, they went to their tribal home in Judea to be registered. This wasn't an easy journey by any means. It was a difficult stretch of miles, more than 70, through mountainous terrain. It would have to have been an especially grueling journey for Mary, who was about to deliver her baby. It might very well have been that they made the arduous trip because she and Joseph were conscious that a birth in Bethlehem would fulfill the prophecy in Micah 5:2 that says, "But you, Bethlehem, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times."
So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid.
Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another,
Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them.
This is John MacArthur. In these scenes, Christ takes on humanity, a reality that is the most profound ever because it indicates that the infinite became finite. The eternal was conformed to time. The invisible became visible. The supernatural one reduced himself to the natural. But in his incarnation, the Word did not cease to be God, but became God in human flesh, undiminished deity in human form as a man. And the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, Jesus as God, one in nature. The end result is the best news the world has ever been given, the most significant life in all history, Jesus Christ. Bringing into full view the one who is Emmanuel, God with us, the eternal Word made flesh, who became the Son of Man, who came to die and rise again for our salvation. And further, Scripture says, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. For whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. John 20:31 says, These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
The Son is given. One perfect life. Thank you for joining us for this Christmas season presentation with John MacArthur, author of One Perfect Life, the complete story of the Lord Jesus.